A group called Privit from Montreal, and Privit means welcome. And the group consists of Irene Michalik, Roman Kostic, and Mark Bidnarchuk. And this is the second CD release of Privit. It's called Zaklakanya, which means remember me, and that song was Nibe Zoris Polunochi, Northern Stars. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі на радіопередачу «Наш голос», яка передається із чудового Ванкуверського острову. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from beautiful Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie, your host, and also known as Pavlina in Ukrainian. Thank you so much for joining me here on «Наш голос», and whether you're listening on shortwave, FM, online, or in flight, or to the podcast, welcome, Vitayu. We have a great program lined up for you. Vasyl Pavlovsky will be by with his cultural capsule, and we'll be speaking with Laurie Hammer, a Victoria-based dancer and choreographer, about a new dance work that she created based on the internment of Ukrainians during World War I. And we'll also have our usual proverb of the week and plenty of great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, the Todestrick sisters from Winnipeg, and Люблю я тебе, Україно. I love you, Ukraine.
Чужий, то щось Radiocast.ca – це наша адреса в інтернеті. Українська радіопрограма з Ванкувера «Четверта хвиля».
Ukrainian programming, the fourth wave from the Burnaby Mountain.
Ми виходимо на хвилі 91 FM в Ванкувері. Також ловіть наш потік через вебсайт cjsf.ca.
Hey, долиною, hey, широкою, необачною.
a delightful bunch of young students of the Metropolitan Andrei Sheptytsky Ukrainian School of Montreal from a CD they recorded about a year or so ago, Usmichnesya Sonechka, which means a smiling sun, and that was Slava Slava Kobzarevi, which means glory to the Kobzar. And the Kobzars are the Ukrainian version of wandering minstrels. Back in the day, they played this beautiful Ukrainian instrument, the national instrument called the bandura. In those days, it was a kobzar. It was a little bit simpler than the bandura of today, more kind of like a lute. And they would go from village to village, and they would sing epic songs, and also they would, you know, make up songs about current events in the day before the internet and TV and all that. That was how the village people got their entertainment as well as their news. And up next is a modern-day kobzar, although he's not a wandering minstrel. I don't think he's blind, and he certainly doesn't wander around from village to village. He doesn't need to because he's pretty plugged in. I got this next tune of his by email, so I don't know much about him other than his name, which is Yaroslav Juice. Yes, like orange or apple juice. That is his last name. And he plays a killer bandura, though. Here he is now with a tune called Svitla Muzika, which means bright music.
Oh,
And more bandura music for you there. That was by a group called Charivna, formerly from Ukraine and now living in the United States. Kind of like the Ukrainian answer to the Andrews Sisters, I think, if you've heard any of their music. And that was a traditional Ukrainian folk song, very beloved, very much on theme as well. It is about a bandura player. It's called Vzyabiya Banduru. Up next is something a little different, a little livelier, a patriotic tune, and it is by a group from Montreal, another Montreal group. They're also from the 1970s. In their heyday, they're called Rushnichok, and very popular during that era. And here they are now with a song about a freedom-fighting hero, a Cossack hero, from the era of World War One, the early 19-teens in Ukraine, when Ukraine was very briefly independent for the first time in the 20th century. Here they are now, Rushnichok, with the ballad of Yuri Chichunik.
Серпами гудер твей, літає косок, кружляє тютюник, тютюник на Київ іде. П'ємося з Дніпра, ей, у Києві ворог, і шах у колони, героїв чекає сестра. Героїв чекає сестра. Тримайтесь, герої, за нами святий Юрій, у тяжким нерівним бою. Тобою, гей, Симон Петлюра, бороди за маті свою. Бороди за маті свою. Нерівнім бою потремтіли гармати, і кулі степами прогули. Походу відплакали мати, що я грізний вихор пройшли. Що я грізний вихор пройшли. Ей, прийде пора і година розплати, для ворога нагло впаде. Не стане під Київка ради, тютюник се віру прийде. Тютюник се віру прийде.
You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Hello, I'm Vasily Podolsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. The 20th century was an extremely turbulent period of world history as well as contemporary Ukrainian history, seeing Ukraine independent as a nation twice. However, the struggles for independence were not without bloodshed. Since the Treaty of Pereyaslav in 1654 after Ivan Mazepa's loss and the territory of Ukraine falling under Tsarist Russia and Poland, it was not until after the First World War in 1918 that those living on the territory of Ukraine once again proclaimed it sovereign, from Russia in what was known as the first universal of the Tsentralna Rada, or Central Council. They announced this sovereignty from Russia on June 28, 1917. One of the key aspects of this universal was a hope that minority groups would join ethnic Ukrainians in the process of nation-building. About a year and a half later came the Fourth Universal, which formed the Ukrainian National Republic, proclaiming its independence from Russia. The Fourth Universal was proclaimed publicly on January 23, 1918. At this time, the contemporary geographic territory of Ukraine was comprised of the Ukrainian National Republic and the Western Ukrainian National Republic with their own governments. A year later, on January 22, 1919, on St. Sophia's Square in Kyiv, another proclamation was read, proclaiming the union of the two territories as the Ukrainian National Republic. Independence at the beginning of the last century was short-lived, as the Bolsheviks did everything to crush the aspirations of the newly independent nation. And then, one of the devils of the last century, Stalin, decided to break any nationalist aspirations with the Holodomor. Though until Ukraine became independent in the last decade of the last century, Ukrainians in the diaspora celebrated independence on January 22nd. Prior to Ukraine's independence on that day in 1990, a human chain was formed from Lviv to Kyiv, in which over 450,000 individuals participated, though the holiday only became officially recognized in 1999. 1 week after the first universal, there is one historical moment that few remember. It is known as the Battle of Krute. In fact, it was more like a slaughter of 300 to 400 patriotic Ukrainian students who made a stand against the Bolshevik force of over 4,000 near the village of Krute, 130 kilometers northeast of Kyiv in Chernihiv Oblast. Unfortunately, once again, there are forces which want to erase Ukraine's historical memory. I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's Cultural Capsule is dedicated to those who fought and are still fighting for Ukraine's freedom.
Я мрію крилату, як пташку зв'яжу, зустрінусь не стану, осліпну не гляну, пройду без усмішки, пройду. Зустрінусь не стану, осліпну не гляну. Як можеш ти вірити звукам, словам? Дай руку, ходім в мою душу, в мій храм. На чистім престолі і сліз, і з крові. Моє серце палає. І ти, наче янгол, схилився над ним, на цілий, на всесвіт, над серцем одним. Thank you.
мою душу в мій храм, на чистім престолі і слізи з крові курить моє серце, палає. Як можеш ти вірити звукам, словам? Дай руку, ході мою душу в мій храм, на чистім престолі і сліз із крові моє серце палає. Як можеш ти вірити звукам, словам? Дай руку, ходім мою душу в мій храм, на чистім престолі сліз із крові курить моє серце, палає.
And that was a song about that event at Krute. It was performed by Korolevsky Zaitsi from Lviv, and that translates as Royal Rabbits. And the song is called Slova, and it's based on a poem by Oleksandr Kandiva. And up next is a tune from a compilation CD of songs that were very popular during the World War I and World War II freedom fighting eras. And this is a march from the Second World War era, performed by Vasil Bukoch.
Повстанці, як давно колись стрільці,
сяє зброя і повстанці, грає успіх на лиці.
Хто живий, в ряд ставай, здобувати, визволяти рідний край.
Хто живий, в ряд ставай, здобувати, визволяти рідний край.
І зброя дасть нам волю, гей, юначе, не парись. В тихих водах ясні зорі знов засяють, як колись.
Хто живий, ряд ставай, знову бати висоляти рідний край.
Розпинати нам братів, не вливати ми отрути в серця чисті юнаків. Хто живий, в ряд ставай, здобувати, визволяти рідний край.
River Run Cottages is the perfect West Coast getaway. This unique bed and breakfast is just minutes from the airport, ferry terminal, and downtown Vancouver. Enjoy the romance of life on the river in one of four luxuriously appointed cottages, get pampered, fed, and relaxed at River Run Cottages in Ladner. To book, call 604-946-7778, toll-free 1-866-947-7778, or visit riverruncottages.com.
Lori Hammer is a Victoria-based dancer and choreographer, and she's created a 20-minute stage presentation called Bloodline. It's based on the internment of Ukrainian Canadians during World War I. Lori's production is under the auspices of Dance Victoria and will be featured in Victoria at the Metro Studio on Sunday, January 30th, as part of Dance Victoria's 2011 Dance Days event. Lori is with me now on Skype to tell us a bit about herself and her intriguing project. Welcome to Nash Holos, Lori.
Oh, hello. Thank you.
Now, I gather from what I've read so far about Bloodline is that it's more than just a stage play. So what exactly is it?
It is a contemporary dance piece. Contemporary dance is primarily what I work in. However, it would also be called dance theater. So the basis of the work is contemporary dance, and then there's several theater elements that create a different feel than just a purely physical dance piece.
Okay, so now you said there were four phases. So talk a little bit about the phases.
Certainly. This is, it's quite a large project for me. It's interesting because, I mean, I've created several full-length works in my career. And by full-length, I usually mean around the one-hour mark where you would go in to see a program and it would be 1 hour long based on one idea or you know, one title that I'm dealing with. For this particular show, part of it is the way our funding is now. Part of it is just the logistics of how I'm approaching it and the opportunities that have arisen, like this one through Dance Victoria to work with choreographer Wenwei Wang, who's from Vancouver. It's an enormous opportunity. Now, within that program itself, I can only create 20 minutes. They don't want anything longer. So what I've chosen to do is I approached this work, first of all, by wanting to, when I first discovered about the Ukrainian internment, I was already in my 30s. So it was kind of shocking to me to find out that this existed and then I hadn't heard anything about it, particularly because that's a part of my cultural background. So I decided to take my time and I applied for funding to do research, first of all, and spent about a year and a half just researching, doing lots of reading. I went to festivals, I went to different museums, things like that, to try and understand as much as I could. And then out of that came this short solo. And then from there, the opportunity to do this Dance Victoria program came up. So I applied to it and got accepted. So it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm creating the first 20 minutes of what I'm anticipating will be a full-length work.
Wow.
So it ends up being kind of a long-term project. But the good news is the second 20 minutes, I've already been accepted into a dance festival down in Seattle.
Wow.
It's by an organization called On the Boards. And we'll be performing that. So I'll be working this spring creating another 20 minutes, the second 20-minute segment, and we'll be presenting that in June in Seattle.
And congratulations. Yeah, that's very exciting.
It's very exciting. It's very encouraging, you know, and there's an interest in not only in my work, my choreography, but in the subject matter. People are inspired to hear and see about it.
So tell us then the storyline. It's based on the internment. How is it how is it based on the internment?
Well, yeah, that's interesting because initially it was based on the internment, and now what's happened is that I've discovered that the internment is the starting point, or was the starting point for me. And this work, this 20-minute work, is actually about the lost stories, which goes back to my original experience of going, wow, I'd never heard of this. What are you talking about? Right? Which is very commonly what I hear from a lot of people. They go, well, no, I didn't know that happened during the First World War. Right? So the piece itself is really about the fact that these stories are lost, as in we don't hear them very often. Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of them written down. You can't, you know, there's not a lot of books that hold these stories. Some of them do exist, right? But not a lot, considering the gravity of the event, and considering that, I mean, that was where the War Measures Act came out of.
It right.
came out of that, you know, that very choice on the government's part to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty big stuff, and mm-hmm. such a surprise that there aren't that many of us aware of it, in my mind anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I had to sort through a lot of, you know, is this my personal thing that makes it seem like, wow, how come nobody, you know, is as, you know, perked up about this as I am? Is it because I have, you know, Ukrainian blood, or what is it? What is that about? So there's been a lot of, you know, introspection and inspection and talking to other people and finding out, you know, for them what their experience was as well. So I would say that this piece, your question was, how is it based on the internment? It was the starting point, and it's what led me to understand that these stories truly are lost. They don't, they're not that prevalent in our society, in our history, in our education system. A lot of people don't have an understanding. So along with that, the internment, comes just the understanding of the settlement of Canada and what role not only Ukrainians but other people as well played and what that's like. For some reason, we don't have much of a focus on that in our systems, right?
No, for sure. Well, so I'm trying to visualize then how would we, there are books, there are films, there are documentaries and articles and so forth, blogs about the internment, but how would dance depict the internment?
Part of what I strove for in choreographing this particular section is exactly the question you're asking me. It's like, well, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. You know, I've done all this reading, and, you know, you read about the atrocities, you read about all these things, and it's like, how does one depict that? In a theatrical sense, you know, aggression, suppression, there's lots of different images that you can do physically to show that. And so there's two things that are going on in this particular piece. One of them, there's movement that I made connections to physical symbols, in particular the Ukrainian Easter egg, the decorated eggs. And so there was a lot of feeling and thought about what an ancient symbol that is, what it represents in terms of wholeness and the universe, and the fragility of it alongside the strength of it within the culture, because it's maintained itself throughout these hundreds of years, and it's still practiced, and it's such a strong symbol. You know, people recognize it and know who that belongs to, right?
Right.
And then the other part, kind of at a last, not last minute, but at a certain point, it was like, oh, right, I have some text here that I found interesting, and I don't know how well that will work while you're dancing, but let's see. So I was very excited to uncover that and make that connection.
So there, how many dancers are there in this production?
There's three.
Okay. And is there music to it as well?
There is. There's a composer that I'm working with. He lives in Vancouver. His name is Dave Chokran. And he's primarily a bass player. However, he composes for contemporary work.
Is Dave of Ukrainian background?
He isn't, actually. Okay. He isn't. But it's interesting because he certainly done studies into different cultural, not even his own, but different cultural aspects. And we get very excited about, like, how does one communicate something to an audience that is about a strong emotion mm-hmm. that is centered around a historical event or a happening.
Now, this is all contemporary and original, and so we're not going to be seeing any kind of Ukrainian folk dancing on stage, I don't imagine.
No, you won't see Ukrainian folk dancing. You will see some Ukrainian props that are very common, like a vinok, which is the, mm-hmm. the headpiece with
right.
the flowers and the flowing ribbons,
mm-hmm.
Used differently, of course. There is one small section that I've been, the local dance, Ukrainian dance company here, Veselka is their name, have been incredibly supportive with what I'm doing and answering a lot of questions for me. And,
mm-hmm.
and there is one small section that we're working at where we're incorporating ideas from the traditional Ukrainian dance, modifying it and temporizing it in quite a way.
Okay, sounds fascinating. Now, it's going to be part of, now, this is not the only performance at the Metro Theater on the 30th?
It is for like the initial showing of this 20-minute segment, but there will be other performances because different dance festivals, things like that, it depends on whether they only want to present a 20-minute segment. Eventually, when I get to the end of this large project and have the 60-minute piece of work, you will see all of it as one program.
Wow. Okay. So this is sort of a sneak preview then of a greater work. Awesome.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So now you also wanted to have copies of Kobzer's Children there available for sale, the book Kobzer's Children, A Century of Untold Ukrainian Stories.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. That was one of my reading materials that really captured me in the research that I was doing. And so I wrote to the editor of the book, Marcia Forchuk-Skripik. And so Marcia and I have been emailing back and forth, and she was very excited about my project. And that was when I came to the place that said I would like to include some of the text from that book in my actual piece. And so she arranged so that I would have permission from the different authors to be able to speak it, have it live on stage. And then she came to me and said, you know, would you like to have the book available for sale for your audience in case they're interested? And that's very exciting to me as well. So so we've made arrangements, and the book will be there and available for people. It's that inroad into, I mean, it starts small, but it's that inroad into people saying, wow, I didn't know about this, and I'm very curious about this.
Okay, all right. And circumstances, weather, and God permitting, I will be there, and I'll be happy to autograph, since the last story in the anthology is mine.
Yes, so look forward to having you here, and I really hope the weather cooperates with us.
Yes. Well, we're looking so forward to seeing the play then, and actually following your progress. Are you going to be blogging your progress as you go along?
That's a great question. Thank you, Paula. Thank you. I appreciate your suggestion. I think it would be a great idea for me to put this up somewhere where people can access it and read it.
So then you'll let me know when you've got your blog up and running, and
sure.
Okay, and then we'll get that happening on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and whatnot, and let people know. And also the next major performance in the local area, you'll let us know, and we'll pass that on to listeners as well.
Yeah, definitely. I just on Friday, as a matter of fact, I've applied for the third section of this 20-minute of this 60-minute thing. There's a fabulous artist in residency project in Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, great.
And then I'll come back home to BC to put all the 20-minute pieces together and find a place to premiere everything.
Okay, well, I certainly want to be get first dibs on the information on that.
You certainly will.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing this information about your very fascinating project, and wish you all the best of luck with the completion of it.
Oh, thanks so much, Paulette.
And I was speaking with Laurie Hammer, dancer, choreographer, and producer of the dance work Bloodline, based on the internment of Ukrainians in Canada during World War I. You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
I, the mountain from whose crown, witness to the barbed wire bound, the crumbling bodies at my feet, where man and mountain came to meet. Look, look, look what you have done. Look, look, and tell. Fractured families, scattered lives, the lies from governmental lips, thick stomach like fog constricts my ribs. Look, look, look what you have done. Look, look, and tell me you were wrong. A nation's shame you seek to hide. The past our present can't abide. The distant now they have not died. When 80,000 voices cried, look, look, look what you.
And a very topical tune that was written and performed by Canadian folk singer Donna Creighton from Ontario. And that song was Look, or also known as 80,000 Voices, about the internment of Ukrainian Canadians during World War I in Canada. And that number, as well as the Ukrainian version, are available through her website, donnacreighton.com. And we'll also have Donna come on Nash Holos to chat with us in the very near future. For the very best in Ukrainian music from all corners of the globe, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you courtesy Keith Perron and PCJ Radio. This broadcast will be archived at the PCJ website, which is pcjmedia.com. You can find out more about Nash Holos and catch the local Vancouver broadcast at the Nash Holos website, which is nashholos.com, spelled N-A-S-H-H-O-L-O-S. Nijel Mivjaskinchila Nashu Programu, our time together is just about up. So before I leave you, some Ukrainian words of wisdom. Громада без провідника то так, як і стадо худоби без пастуха. And the proverb of the week translates into, a community without a leader is like a flock without a shepherd. Although the actual translation is more is kind of like a herd of cows, without a shepherd. So, always loses in the translation. Anyways, we're just about done for our program. So I've got one last tune that I will leave you with, and you will need your dancing boots for this one. It is by the Canadian Rhythm Masters from Winnipeg, and it's called the Liberty Two-Step. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.